Hi, and welcome to the Advancing Learning Podcast with me, Will Rickson, and Harry Waters. Today's episode is brought to you by Ready4, a course that's been helping students prepare for their exams for over 20 years. The brand new Ready4C2 proficiency level is the latest in the series and continues to provide the in-depth exam training for which the course is known. Enjoy the episode. Good morning and welcome to the Advancing Learning Podcast. My name is Will Rickson and I'm joined by two people. Can we hear some names? Who am I joined with?
Well, there's me, Harry Waters. I'm usually here.
And there's me, Elspeth Pollock. And this is my first time here.
Lovely. Pleasure to be here for your first time, Elspeth.
Thank you. Yes.
Thanks for joining us. So we're here today to talk about C2, the C2 exam. That's what we're zeroing in on for this session. And we've brought you along for this, Elspeth. Why on earth would we do such a thing?
Madness. Yes. Well, I'm the director of studies at ELI, a large language school in the south of Spain, in Seville, actually where Harry is based as well. So we're in the same city together. And I've been a teacher and teacher trainer for many, many years. So over the years, definitely my interests have followed the line of teaching teenagers as opposed to younger learners. I like the challenge of teenagers. And of course, then the exams that they have to take, like B1, B2, C1, or even C2. And about 15 years ago, I took on that challenge of teaching proficiency for the first time in a very scared fashion and absolutely loved it and have really enjoyed working with the other teachers we have of this level of C2 and working on materials and ideas and approaches at this level.
What do you mean you loved it? You loved it straight. What did you love about this exam specifically?
Just it's, apart from the students, the exam itself is, it's an academic exam. It's it's for a professional world. So therefore it's very different. I mean, everybody talks about you've got first for schools now and they're saying, well, would there ever be an advanced for schools? And it maybe hangs there in as a possibility, but there never will be a proficiency for schools. You've got to be able to assimilate the texts. You've got to be able to stand out as a non-native speaker in getting in there and getting your qualification at C2. It's very different and it's good fun.
And it's funny as well, because there's an increasing number of younger students that are doing the proficiency exam because they reach their kind of C1 and think, well, what now? But I'm sure we'll get onto that a little bit later. I love what you said there about when you started teaching as well, that at first how scary it is. And when I taught it, it was definitely a very scary thing. But the love is almost instant. As soon as you get into the classroom, I found that, you know, it really is a fun thing to teach, because you do also learn a lot along the way as well about, you know, even the kind of mechanics of English that I didn't really know existed before I started teaching.
Yeah. And I suppose we're going to go into the student in a bit, but I bet their love for learning is so incredibly infectious. I suppose if they are learning for that exam, they're probably quite keen on it, quite keen on the learning itself.
Yeah. I mean, the exam itself, in what way it differs to C1 exam, is that there are a couple of tasks, like the famous 2-minute monologue individual turn that they have to do with some prompts in the speaking exam. And then the writing part one, which is where they have to analyze 2 100-word texts and then summarize and paraphrase them. So in terms of having different tasks, there are some different tasks at C2. It's more complex. You have to be a proficient user. Cambridge describes it as a proficient user, but you definitely need some experienced students of English in order to be able to get on and do it well, I think.
I remember back, you know, many years ago when I was teaching proficiency, and I just would like to throw in here for everybody listening, I do have a 100% pass rate for all of my students.
Yeah. You said this in the intro. You said this when we were talking, but Harry, you need to tell the truth now, Harry.
It is true. 100% of my students.
Okay, that is the truth.
Give us some numbers.
My good friend Miguel, who was in my class, was the only person that took the exam, but he did pass it. So I got a 100% pass rate. But yeah, it was...
It, classic Miguel, that, isn't it?
When I was doing the, when we were training for the exam, when we were doing that, I really found that there were 4 other students in the class But they were very aware that they weren't quite ready to do the exam. And it usually seems with other levels that are lower down, you know, your B1, your B2, and sometimes even your C1, students just kind of assume, well, I've done the year, I've done most of the book, so I'm going to do the exam. But I really found with my proficiency students, they had that self-awareness that I don't think I'm quite ready for this, so I'm going to hold off for another year, or I'm just going to take what I've got from this and continue to build my English. And it seemed they had that self-awareness, which was brilliant.
I definitely agree, because in theory, it's another 200 hours from C1 to C2. But I think you, in terms of academic courses, you'll often find a proficiency student will have the self-awareness to say, I'm going to wait for another half a year, 2.5 years. Because often, in fact, at the beginning of a proficiency course, you find that they actually suddenly become quite insecure. They realize there's an enormous world of vocabulary out there, of fixed phrases and collocations and idioms that they've never come across. And they think, goodness, we've come this far in my language learning career and suddenly I don't know anything. So it's there's a lot to learn, and they can get a bit apprehensive actually at the beginning of the course.
Well, actually, just talking about that, so just going back one moment before they come into their class for the first time, can we just talk about that person that we're talking about there?
Yeah.
A student that is about to walk into a C2 exam preparation course. Who are we talking about here?
From the years that I've taught it and I've seen them, the groups that I've had, usually an expert language learner. Like they know exam technique. Like they know how to spot a distractor in a listening text or in a reading text. They're very experienced, and they can approach it that way, often better than the teacher can. And more quickly,
really?
More efficiently. So they're usually smashing language learners with an intrinsic motivation. It's like Harry was saying, you know, they've come this far and carry on to C2. They really want to carry on. So that's why I think they're a real delight to work with as groups, because you've got that intrinsic motivation and they just want to be there and get on with it. So yeah, I would say that.
And is there often extrinsic motivation of some kind as well?
I think it's less common with C2, to be honest, because you need C1 to get visas into places, or you need C1 to study in certain universities. There aren't a whole range of things. There aren't a whole bunch of things that say you need a C2 level to do it. There are some things, some jobs that
careers.
You might need a C2.
Yeah.
There are
yeah.
some careers. Mm-hmm. But it's nowhere near the breadth for the C1 or for the B2. These are, you know, highly in demand.
Having said that as well, I get quite a lot of CVs from teachers to work with us, and definitely that sets them apart if they have the C2, if they have the proficiency. So as a it can be teachers take it quite a lot, non-native teachers, because it makes them stand out.
And my student who passed, Miguel, he is an English teacher. He's also a Spanish teacher as well. He also loves James Bond and watches. In fact, he wrote about a watch for one of his practice writings.
Harry, does he like the James Bond watches?
Well, of course he does. Oh,
yeah, but he'd love them. That's just up his street, isn't it, for Miguel?
Yeah, he wrote one of his writings was about a watch that his uncle had given him when his uncle passed away. And it's the only time in my life I've ever been moved to tears from a student's writing. It was so good.
Oh, wow.
And it was so meaningful. Like, you know, I've watched performances and presentations that have, you know, made me well up. But I was sitting there reading this thing and I was just like, wow, this is something else. Like, what he's written is just out of this world.
Brilliant. Okay, so Let's look at the course itself then. So that student has now gone into the course. Actually, no, Harry, I got a question about your class. You said one passed and there were more in that class.
You said there were four.
There were four in the class, but they didn't do the exam. They realised that they weren't ready to do the exam yet, so they hung on for another year. I mean, two of them were in their second year at university. Now, if you don't know, Spanish university is incredibly intense. You know, when I was growing up and going through university, it was easy enough for me to like take another job and, you know, sit around at home and do all these things. But in Spain, it's very like labor intensive. There's a lot of work to do. So they they admitted and accepted that they couldn't quite dedicate enough time outside of the classroom to be able to take themselves up to that next level. One of them was an aviation engineering student talking how planes flew, but it isn't just magic and fossil fuels. It was all sorts of other things as well. And that's what I was saying, that they realized that they weren't quite ready for it yet. They wanted to give it another 6 months before they went for it.
For lots of people, preparing for exams can be a real challenge. This is the case not only for students, but also for teachers. Today's episode was brought to you by Ready4, which has been at the side of teachers preparing students for examinations for over 20 years. The newest addition of the Ready4 family is the C2 proficiency level, which, as you heard in the episode, helps prepare for the C2 proficiency exam, a tricky step in language learners' journeys. Luckily, Ready for C2 is packed full of tips, strategies, and exercises to ensure both teacher and students are ready to take on the challenge. From new idiom sections, innovative pronunciation exercises, and the always loved Ready for sections, to the innovative assessment area in ME, that's Macmillan Education Everywhere app for teachers. You can be sure of success. If you want to learn more, why not take a look at the sample material using the link in the episode description. Back to the episode.
I think that the teacher plays a very important role in that with the C2 level students, in trying to help them readdress that goal that they've got, or just think about it, adjust their expectations slightly. Because at C2, there is no word list. There's not so much concrete that you can hang on to as a student or even as a teacher. It's just so massive, so wide, that it can make it quite tricky.
It is funny as well. Sorry, Will. I was going to say it's funny as well, because in the B2 kind of level, when we're starting to use idioms and set phrases with our students, we often look at them as kind of an extra. But when it gets to proficiency, they're a lot more than just an extra. They are like a huge chunk of the English language is idioms and set phrases that we use. So,
but then you get the thing where a C2 level student produces an essay which is suddenly incomprehensible because you can't...
It's full of idioms.
How many idioms? You often get the killing birds with one stone thrown in there, and as many set phrases as possible.
Can I ask, actually, because obviously the whole thing about the English language evolving constantly and exponentially because of the exposure that students have got to YouTube and social media and the wide array of English that is used, could I ask if the C2 exam takes that into account, whether, because there are a lot of students out there that have, learnt almost entirely from the language that they are exposed to online. So if you get a student that's really fluently writing an amazing essay that doesn't tick, is the criteria being adapted here?
No, this is a Cambridge exam. And if you want to choose to take a Cambridge exam, you jump through their hoops. And their hoops say that there's a limited topic area, really, that they're going to be testing, because, of course, it's going to be areas which are not conflictive or might generate anxiety in students. And therefore, and they have their areas of assessment. And quite often, actually, that can be a problem at C2, both speaking and writing, because the students are too laid back, too relaxed. This is an academic exam. Or in fact, sometimes they're too young. And if you're too young, you can't actually get your head around the level, the academic level that's needed in order to be able to speak or write about the topic areas that are there, which are not controversial, but they still have to be dealt with at a certain level of depth.
Because we are getting an increasing number of students who are, finishing their C1 when they're 15. Their next step, obviously, they're still at school, so their next step is to go to C2, and it really does require that level of maturity. And don't get me wrong, there will be students who are 16, 17 that have that level of maturity and have that ability to pass the C2, but they will be exceptional students.
Absolutely. That was the same thing with my daughter, where she's bilingual, and I actually made her wait until she was 17 and a half before she did the proficiency exam. And I said, it's not because you're not bilingual, it's because you won't be able to process that amount of text and to do the tasks at the level you're going to be asked to do them at. Definitely.
Okay. So, I mean, can we move on to the different, the other perspective in the room here? So moving on to the teacher, I'm guessing it's not the easiest realm to move into as a teacher. How does that go? Is there an influx? Is there a waiting line?
To be a teacher of CT, you mean?
Yeah.
Personally, I think it's scary initially when you get into it. Would you agree, Harry? Do you think that?
100% would agree. I would 100% agree. And again, you need a teacher who has a level of maturity and a level of experience to be able to take that on. Because yes, as teachers, you know, we should have a kind of C2 level at the very least of English. But just because you can speak English doesn't mean that you can teach that kind of level. And yeah. I was terrified when it was handed to me. I was absolutely, I didn't show it, obviously. That's how cool I am.
No, cool as a cucumber.
C2? No problem. Yeah. Absolutely fine. Just go home and cry for a while. But yeah, it was a really big step.
I think it's a big step for any teacher. I mean, I always say to teachers going into teaching for the first time, do like I did. You're surgically attached to the teacher's book because it's got the answers.
Yeah, right.
And another huge thing for me, you talk about there about having a teacher who's got a certain amount of experience. I think you've got to have a teacher who's got the experience to be able to say, I don't know.
100%. 100%.
I'll go and look it up and just, I don't know. I mean, I've been wrong in proficiency classes. I think sometimes as teachers, we expect to be the font of all knowledge. And the C2 students are the stars of this, and they know, what they're talking about.
And they, I can imagine them not shying away from saying it if they see something wrong being said.
So I think that having a little bit of the experience and be willing to say, I don't know.
I think that was actually something I could feel my face heating up. If I ever got something wrong and a student pointed me, it happened a couple of times, and I just internally completely collapsed. So I didn't have a problem saying I don't know, because I think I'd rather say I don't know than a student picking me up on.
But it's even, I remember it's even spelling of words. I remember a massive argument I had with one proficiency lass, and she was amazing. And she, we're of the spelling of skeptical. It was, is it a C or is it a K? And I was wrong. Can't remember which one I said.
It's a K, isn't it?
Are you sure?
I know you're about to say it doesn't matter. It matters to me.
I really found what you mentioned as well with the teacher's book. Up until that stage, I hadn't been much of a teacher's book kind of a teacher, you know, because I am a very creative teacher. You know, I'll look at a book and I'll quite often come up with my own ideas, create my own materials. But yeah, when it got to proficiency, it was I'm looking at the teacher's book. And yet, when you're doing the listenings, if you do the listening not knowing the answers, it's very hard. It's very difficult.
Really hard.
Yeah, if you're not trained in doing it. So the students are trained because the students have been through the system of doing the exams. And you know, at B2 level, it's super simple. You can pick out. C1, it starts to maybe get a bit tricky and you may be in doubt. At C2, you're just looking at the answers like, oof, well, it could be any one of those four.
Who knows?
I'm not really sure.
Yeah, but that's the problem. I think just going back to what I was saying earlier, that is, I've seen these tests and sometimes you can look at all four and genuinely I look at them and go, actually, do you know what? If anyone said one of those, maybe they don't always all completely make perfect sense, but I would always understand what someone meant if they used any of those four.
Yeah. And that can be a problem for the teacher as well. You're talking there, Harry, about being creative. Sometimes at C2 level, it's very difficult to be creative with materials because there are so few materials available.
Right.
Sources to adapt materials. And, you know, usually you go online for B1, B2, there's a world out there of resources. But for C2, it dwindles tremendously.
However, luckily...
However, yes, oh, this was so exciting. honestly, my teachers, I emailed them, our proficiency teachers to tell them this news. It was so exciting. We had that there's a ready for C2. Macmillan are bringing out the new course book. And I said, we're using it. And they were like, yes. Because there is, apart from that, there is so little. As you were saying, Harry, the same course book is being used that's been used for the past 15 years.
Oh, yeah, when I taught it, I think it was 9 years ago. And I know that I have friends teaching now using the very same course book. And things have changed in 9 years, quite a bit. Things have changed in the world. There are a few resources online. I know Tim Worry has, it's called freeenglishlessonplans.com. He has
some. What's his name? Sorry, Tim what?
Tim Worry. What Worry is W-A-R-R-E.
Okay.
There are some, but very few.
And very often those things, I mean, One Stop English has a whole load of C2 proficiency activities as well. But sometimes I find when I'm looking for stuff, it's labeled C1 and C2. And that really annoys me because I want something that's C2 only.
Yeah. So can I ask then, so about the teachers, about what a teacher, in terms of methodologies and the way that a teacher does their job in that classroom, you were talking, Harry, you mentioned earlier that their experience and a certain maturity is required of a teacher, I suppose, at that level.
Yeah.
Is in terms of how they approach that lesson, how does it change when you're teaching C2?
Well, for me, there was a lot more, I'd like to call it proper planning. because, you know, I got to the unit in the book where it said subjunctive, and I was like, we've got the subjunctive in English.
Oh, look at that. Yeah.
I was like, what? You know, be that as it may, it does exist, but I had no idea. So it took a lot more preparation on my part. Yes, I prepare my classes. Yes, I do lesson planning and so on and so forth, but this took some really deep lesson planning. There was absolutely no way that I was doing a door handle lesson plan. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's when you get to the door handle and you think, what am I doing in today's class? And open the door.
Okay.
You know, you can get away with on the odd occasion with some levels. You know, if you've been teaching B1, B2 for many, many years and you know what's coming up in the book, then, you know, if you're an experienced teacher, you don't need to spend hours planning. But for proficiency, I did not find for even one class I could not plan.
Yeah. And the planning and also the type of activity, because you, with B2, we spend a lot of our time teaching exam technique. And as I said before, a C2 student is already familiar with that technique. We can't just present it to them again. Here's how to do a multiple choice listening task. They know. So I think another important part of it is, apart from the lack of materials, is the fact that, but not anymore, is the fact that teaching them about C2 students about how to be autonomous learners, how to go out and find things out for themselves. They can use authentic materials probably for the first time, really. C2 level is when you can really explore authentic materials. But things like still the need to keep vocabulary books and records and as a learner, actively still keep learning.
Yeah, I think as well when I would obviously spend a lot of time looking at what I was going to be teaching and planning, but also be very much prepared, as with any class really, to completely throw that out the window if it goes off at a tangent to something that the students find genuinely interesting. Because when your students have that level of English, when they're at that higher level, then there are times when it's going to go off to something that you maybe weren't expecting. And quite often it's, you know, more controversial topics come up a lot in class. There's a lot more. I had a few fairly heated debates in my classes. So you need to be ready for that. Maybe not encourage it, depending on what it is, obviously, but be ready for the fact that students are equipped with that ability to do that. So be ready for students to question you, to question each other, and to have that language in their arsenal.
And also one thing about now we've got AI coming into our classrooms a lot more, proficiency level, you don't need to fight it because you, for example, using AI to create writing task, the answer to a writing task at C2, and then comparing it with what actually the students have written themselves and getting them to analyze the vocabulary, the collocations that are used in those two pieces of writing. I think C2 is the perfect level for doing that, because normally students, if they cheat using AI to create a piece of writing, it's too high a level than the level they actually have. Whereas at proficiency, well, no, it could just be as good as that. So it can be.
So it's actually the arguments themselves and the content of what they're writing is.
Yeah, yeah. Don't fight the AI. Just it's a great opportunity to use it in a C2 classroom.
So if you're communicating with these students and in class, do you think a teacher needs to have a certain amount of, I hope this isn't controversial, but intelligence? You need to be able to hold a conversation with someone who is reaching C2. Is there a correlation with intelligence and being able to teach those students?
Certainly having a wide range of interests in the world.
Right.
Because sometimes they are very keen to talk about current topics, even though you won't find that in the actual exam.
Yeah, definitely the interest level and the ability to engage with these things. So like I said, I had an aerospace engineer in my class. He, you know, has learned how to build aeroplanes. And I don't know much about aeroplanes, but being able to actively engage in it and talk about it and be able to extract the language from that was necessary. So, yeah, you don't necessarily have to be more or less intelligent. You have to be able to engage with your students' interests. But again, that should be for any teacher at any level. You should be able to engage in what interests your students. It's just at that level, maybe the language is more complex.
Okay.
And that's why also at that level, if you can design classroom activities as well, which involve a bit of student research where they have to investigate something they're interested in, then that can go a long way in the classroom. Because if you use like a Padlet online for them to get all the information together and then share it with the rest of the group, it can be very motivating. And again, the teacher, I think, is a facilitator and a guide, as opposed to I'm choosing the content of this lesson. That if you can try and find a way to let the students be the star of the lesson and have their research or their interests, then it works much better. It's much easier on the teacher as well.
Yeah.
When it comes to like presentation lessons, I know with lower levels, when we're starting to help our students to train for presentations, they stand there and read a PowerPoint, and it's it makes you want to not be bald so you have hair so you can tear it out. But at the C2 level, they use far fewer words on their presentations, and it is more about training their presentation skills rather than the language that they need within that. So I found it really interesting, those sessions, those lessons.
Yeah.
So, all right, to end it then, so we're going to put it to a close. Final word to a teacher who is just about or who is thinking about teaching C2.
Find the teacher's book.
I thought you were about to say find another teacher.
No,
find a teacher to do it for you.
Yes, no. That's what I'm go for about. It because it's a very special experience, and it's initially terrifying. And once you're in there with these individuals who are generally fantastic, it's a very rewarding experience.
Use the teacher's book then. Okay.
Yeah. And use the teacher's book. Okay. Yeah, and embrace your mistakes because you're going to make them.
Okay.
Definitely.
Embrace I don't know as well, I suppose.
Yes.
Embrace I don't know.
Yes.
You tell me.
Yes. Yeah. You tell me.
Yes. I'll hold my answer back before you've given yours. Lovely stuff. Thank you so much, Elspeth, for joining us today. It was wonderful chatting to you.
Welcome. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Els. I'll see you soon, no doubt.
Yes. See you soon.
See you. Bye. Thanks again for listening to the Advancing Learning podcast from Macmillan Education. Don't forget to pay macmillaneducation.es/readyfour a visit to find out more about the Ready4 series.